Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Dan Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And this is weird. So we've got, oh, well, Joaquin.
Hi.
We are joined by
Joaquin Lewis.
Or affectionately known as
Joakim Laus.
The never ending, the elusive. So we update on Scoppy's week of apparently going through entirely different audio setups. We've got lapel mics on.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool.
It is really cool. And it's not something we're expecting to use for every interview, because after the new mixer comes in, we'll have like three really solid microphones to use for everybody. But the lapels are fantastic for like group interviews, for like post-performance interviews and stuff like that, because like it's going to be great. Plus it makes a great backup for when we don't have the mixer, now that the mixer hasn't come into the mail yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, this is awesome.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Joaquin, being lapelled?
The only thing cooler would be, like, the headset mics.
Yeah.
Like Janet Jackson does, or like Madonna has. That'd be the only thing cooler. But this is pretty cool.
We were talking to Jesse Oliver about that last night, about how it takes a certain je ne sais quoi to pull off like the Britney Spears mic.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, have you ever done like musical theater? Like and they had those like snake mics that they tape next to your forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are pretty fun, except I sweat so much that I'd have to come after every scene, and the backstage crew would be like powdering me and putting brand new tape on, because it would just be coming off. Like, they're like, dude, you swell. I was like, yeah, dude.
Well, the other thing that's super exciting about today is we just published, and we're going to actually have like Megan and Anna on too. But I mean, the Filipino concert was like, I came to you first about wanting to do that. Or like, did you come to me? I don't remember how it actually happened.
I think it came to me and said, do you have...
But you've been doing Filipino art song for
a
little while.
Yeah, I have. I haven't. There are lots of very good Filipino/Filipino American/American.
Right.
Whatever. However you want to like label, do the whole labeling thing. But there are quite a few of us in the city. The lyric has two tenors.
Yeah.
One full time, one almost full time, and then one of the character tenors, Rodel Rosalare, is, if it's not Cangelosi, it's him doing all the other character roles at the lyric. And mm-hmm. he also actually won the Met, was one of the first character tenors to win the Met competition.
I think that I saw him sing Albert Herring in Milwaukee.
Perhaps, yeah. He's got a great voice, and he actually goes and sings karaoke contests here along the city.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, so there's like, and it's the tradition of vocal arts in the Philippines. Vocal singing, I mean, it comes from the indigenous peoples and from the European Western influence mm-hmm. from Spain being there for 300 plus years. So all that Western Baroque style, they have their own version of zarzuelas.
Yeah.
And opera, art song.
It's and the people that y'all found as performers, it's like a long list of people. It's like Jared Escara, Megan Fletcher, Anna Kane, Nicole Bessa, mm-hmm. You obviously.
There's Malcolm.
And you found a Filipino pianist, which is fucking mm-hmm. awesome.
There's Malcolm and Herbert.
Yeah.
And Megan Mozzarilli.
Mm-hmm.
And we just
right.
And we had hits from a few others. I know a couple other singers around here. It's just actually a whole lot of them.
How many people are singing on this concert?
We have, I think we have at least six.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Six, and it'll be interspersed with some choral/acapella vocal ensemble mm-hmm. things. And traditional Filipino folk song/art song. And a few couple of contemporary things.
Yeah, and what I love about it, too, is that, like, we're finally, from our perspective, as, like, an organization that's trying to keep this thing going, is I feel like I came to a really good, I rewrote the mission statement for Hearing in Color today, and I came down to basically calling it a rotating administration wing of Scoppy Magazine, where basically, like, we're just rotating the administration for every culture that we use, but I really am interested in, as we develop, like, as we go, like, do these concerts, like, coming back and doing, like, I really would be interested in doing, like, a Tagalog zarzuela or something like that, or some, you know, if that was something that people would be interested in hearing or performing or seeing, you know.
So just for clarifying sake, Tagalog.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, of course. Please, constantly.
I mean, you can say Tagalog, and then we'll know that you, they will know who you are. But if I said Tagalog, they would, like, skin me alive.
Tagalog?
Tagalog.
Tagalog.
Mm-hmm.
Tagalog.
Cool. Yeah. So that's...
Cool.
In fact, I mean, I had huge visions. I used to study indigenous Kulintang, which is the gong, relative of the gamelan ensemble.
Okay, yeah.
I used to study that. I also used to play bass in a Philippine folk rondalla, which accompanied folk dancing. I was like, wow, what could we do this pre-show? And I was like, we should just kind of cut it and just keep it to the,
right.
Keep it to like the serenading kind of thing right now. But it's something that's been missing for me since I moved here to Chicago, the Midwest. As I'm touching myself and I touch the mic that's on my chest right there. I'm trying to touch my heart and
it just, no, it's yeah,
gonna,
it's
we had these new mics. I'm like, oh, there's a mic there.
There's an adjustment period with these. I keep like exhaling through my nose, and it's
oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because you'd breathe right into the microphone. That's right in your face. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited. You asked me, and you gave me Megan Fletcher's name, and then I know Anna Kane, and then Jared and Nicole, Besa, Jared Esguerra. And I actually asked Jeffrey Ogpolo, too, who's one of the other tenors in the lyric chorus, and he's super busy. But it grew from there. It grew from there. Yeah. A lot of DePaul people, actually. A lot of big DePaul, Filipino DePaul community, and a few of them ended up being singers, and then they were sitting around, and then Anna was like, hey, I know Megan Fletcher knows, we all know all these people, can they sing too? And I was like, right. Yeah, like, obviously, I mean, I'm a tenor, and I'll sing the whole concert by myself,
yeah.
But like, you know, that's kind of not the point of this one. I'll have my own spotlight some other time, well, but yeah.
I was amazed as we started getting into it, and we all started finding people and putting this all together, how many Filipino people we knew. Filipine, I don't know. How do you say multiple? I don't know.
It's kind of like how I made up the, when we were co-managing Opera on Tap, the DVAT.
Yeah.
That's because I had seen a teacher of mine put Pinoy and Pinay is kind of like a term that the California Filipinos gave to themselves, as like, oh, we're Pinay, Pinoy, but Pinoy was like the all-encompassing, like, man, as opposed to, like, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then so she started, my teacher from school started writing it P-I-N at Y. And they were both there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make Divo that way, D-I-V at. And we're like, ah. And so yeah. I think it's a way to kind of put both of them together in one. So I think it's kind of fun. And yeah, Pinoy, Pinay,
yeah.
Filipino, Filipina.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the culture, they call it Filipiniana.
Cool.
I don't know why it's feminine. It's just in that way it is. But
yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited, and thank you for asking us, because it should be a fun concert. It's gonna be. We're really excited. We got together on Labor Day. We met for a few hours, and just sat there and went through music. And then I sent you the little video clip of us singing a choral song that was arranged by a friend of mine from California. And it's we were really excited doing that. So
I also feel like it's cool because, you know, we did the Latinx concert first, then we did the Black concert second, and I feel like while a underappreciated or not, I was going to say ultimately is that I feel like for some reason Filipiniana culture is so overlooked in a way.
Yeah,
like. I know I had a friend in undergrad who was Filipino, and he would always, it was a big point of contention of, like, the whole where the Philippines are identity-wise, like, whether they're Pacific Islander or whether they're an Asian culture, you know? Which I think is super interesting. Do you have any thoughts on that? He would get his name was Kit Cleto, he's a tenor, he would specifically get upset if anyone told him that he was a Pacific Islander because, well, actually, you know what?
Was it Asian?
I'm not sure now.
It's, gosh, this goes back to my first degree, which is Asian American Studies.
Yeah.
Identity politics or identity, just talking about identity for Asians in general.
Right.
It gets really, really kind of crazy with the Filipinos because to start off, they've been parts of Indian empires, mm-hmm. of they've been trading with Arab traders for years. Mm-hmm. The whole southernmost part of the Philippines is a lot of Muslims living there because of the exposure and the experience of trading with the Arabic traders come way back, 1000 AD, you know. And then the two Indian maritime empires, the Philippines were part of all that, Borneo, Java, kind of, that was all part of this empire. A lot of people think the Visayan Islands are named after Srivijaya, which was another maritime empire that the Philippines became part of. It was always a big trading post. Mm-hmm. It's why the U.S. kept it as a colony, because it was that foothold of it. It was so close to, like, that you weren't actually in China, but you're that close to it, you know?
Right.
So if you can control this, you can go that. You can go into Asia. You can go west. There's Hawaii right there. And then Hawaii is like a jumping stone all the way across the Pacific mm-hmm. Ocean. So back to the point is that, like, we Filipinos had, we're like, what are we? So are we Pacific Islanders? Are we Asians? And we're sort of both. I mean, you can look and say Japan is a Pacific island as well, right? But they consider them more Asian.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to, like, prehistoric migration and all that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And a lot of the, what's it called? And this goes back to, it starts going back and it starts going and coloring over and crossing over into, like, Polynesian and Austronesian and Micronesian and all of those people who came up through Malaysia, Indonesia. A lot of those people went into the Philippines. At the same time, there were already indigenous people there. And then just a couple years later, the Chinese and a lot of the Asians, the Asian ancestors came over that, because it's not very far from the coast of China. You can mm-hmm. take a boat over there. So they were all kind of living there.
Yeah.
And so it's all kind of a point of, like, you can say you're Asian, you can say you're... We definitely have lots of Asian influence in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
We lots of influence from China. There's Chinese words, there's Chinese names. I mean, China's kind of all over the world anyway, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Chinese culture brought in anything that was around China. You can bring in Korea, you can bring in Japan, you can bring in Vietnam. Anything that came through China, they brought over to the Philippines when they were there. So you can, obviously, there's an Asian influence there. It is a Pacific island, and we don't look, because of the mix of all of our, it's just because of the mix and that being an island a little bit off the coast of Asia, mainland Asia, we had all these other people coming in. And so we've mm-hmm. had all this mixing, and we don't, it's not just only looks, but a lot of Filipinos feel that, oh, we're not really, you're not really that Asian because we're also on Pacific Islands. Our language, our indigenous language, is closer to Polynesian language than it is to anything else, with a little bit of Spanish thrown in and some Chinese, but you can actually use the traditional Filipino script to write a lot of Polynesian languages almost better than you can actually write the Tagalog or all those other languages in there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. They're like, yeah, you can use this to write all Polynesian, Samoan, Tongan. You can write in Hawaiian. You can write those languages better with our script than you can actually write our own language. Mm-hmm. So it's, you can sit there and have people fight over, like, what am I, Asian, Filipino? I know also it became a point of contention within the Asian community, because when people thought Asian, they thought Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. Mm-hmm. Those were the very first and foremost when Asian. And so I remember reading, and I need to check up on this because I was not expecting to talk about it, but I think
I
remember...
Like, I was just going to say, I like how that you got here like a half an hour ago just like to come over to like crash on our couch so I don't have to take a long commute home.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're going to record an episode with you because we want to try these microphones.
Well, you know, this will all tie in. We want to kind of foreshadow the Filipino concert, but...
Right.
I know in the United States and California, I know when there was a... I got to look it up, and I'll find it. Maybe you guys can we'll cite the sources. But what I think happened, because a lot of times now, especially when I was in California, they go, like, mark your ethnicity, right? And they go, like, Asian, Pacific Islander, and then there'd be actually a Filipino column.
Oh.
Because from what I remember, and it's been so long, but I think that the Filipino community was put that on there so they can make sure that they were getting funding or like whatever, because when they would say Asian, the funding would go into mostly the Chinese, Japanese, Korean
right.
things, and the Filipinos and other especially Filipinos were being left out, and I think mm-hmm. they felt being left out, so they had their own like Filipino or Pacific Islander. It's kind of, sometimes you'll see a Filipino Pacific Islander. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of it gets all kind of messy. It can get really messy.
Yeah. So my next question is about the language. Is there something about the language that lends itself really well to being sung?
Yeah, you know, the vowels are pretty pure. Mm-hmm. They have diphthongs, but it's not like American. They're just, you know, the...
Right.
There's not a whole lot of R's. D's and R's are kind of the same letter over there. Mm-hmm. And, in the same way that you hear, like, Polynesian, like, especially, like, Hawaiian groups and Polynesian, it really, especially the slow songs that came out of Hawaii that just seem to just flow, that because of the, it's very vowel-driven. There's not a whole lot of consonants behind it, just cut the syllables in half. You can get that with Filipino languages as well.
Cool.
But there are also some languages there's so many languages in the Philippines, and they call them dialects, but they're actually languages, as opposed to, like, oh, yeah, they might speak a different, an interesting, like, twang up in Hawaii. It's the pidgin English. It's still kind of English. Mm-hmm. We just kind of, like, don't know what they're saying. Or you go to different Appalachia or go to, like, you know, other parts, and you're like, eh, I know they're speaking English, but these are different languages in that Czech and Slovakian are two different languages, but they can kind of understand each other. But they're not really... But, like, a Czech can speak to somebody who's Slovakian, and they'll answer in Slovakian, but the Czech can understand, and they can just speak to each other in their own language. Some of the languages in the Philippines work like that, and some of them don't. Some of them, you just don't understand. They just don't understand what they're saying. And that's how my family is. Cool. Both my grandfathers spoke one language, and my grandmother spoke another.
Oh, wow.
And so everybody's taught English.
Right.
Because not only was America there, but Great Britain was there for a little bit too, and had established English back in the 1700s.
Right.
And it's kind of stuck around, but then American colonization brought English back over there, and so a lot of them were speaking English already. And so my grandparents, learned English as well. So when they met my grandmothers, both my grandfathers are from Ilocos, or speak Ilocano. Both my grandmothers are from the Visayan Islands, which are the middle islands in the Philippines. And they speak a language called Waray. And they're really different languages. Mm-hmm. You might catch some words that are similar, but not much.
Cool.
And so their common language was English. And so my parents, my mother born in Oakland, my dad born on a base in the Philippines that moved to California when he was 14 months old, they grew up hearing English in the house. And they would only hear my Ilocano when all the Ilocano uncles would come over and go outside and cook a pig outside, and then you can hear a Ilocano outside. Mm-hmm. And it just happened that a lot of the soldiers that joined the army, the U.S. Army from the Philippines, a lot of them were Ilocano. They had got a lot of workers to come out of there to work the farms, and then they ended up going into the army and becoming citizens. And their R&R, when they were out there in the war, in the Navy and the Army, was a lot of them were in those islands in the center where all the Visayans and the Waray people were. Which is how both my grandfathers ended up both marrying Waray women, because that's where they're resting. But because they didn't speak the same language, English was the common language.
Yeah.
And so they came over here, and it's funny because I'm a third generation, a second generation born here, but third generation from my family. And people go like, "Why is there no Tagalog in your house?" I'm just like, "Because my family's not Tagalog." Wow. And they go like, "Oh, what is your family?" I go, "Ilocano Waray." They're like, "Whoa." And speaking of the languages, like Waray is kind of, there's a really funny video that you've seen, the YouTube video, when the guy goes, "These are the Romance languages, and this is the German word." And they'll be like,
"Yeah.
Yeah. There's this guy, this British guy, I think he does the same one, but like, here's Tagalog, here's something, here's Waray." And like, Waray is so like, "Rah!" And it's really funny. And it probably has its own pre-language. It's just, when you ask me, like, does it lend itself to singing, that video pops in my head.
No, that's awesome.
But yeah, that's... Wow, you asked me a lot that I never...
Realized that you knew something? Or I remember the few times that we've talked a lot about the Philippines in the past. I'm always, like, very impressed with how much you know about it. That's why when we were, like, doing one of these things, like... In a second, I'm going to test the lapel mic and walk into the kitchen and check on all the things I have broiling. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. Right. But the thing that I wanted to say was, when we were like, oh, we're going to play with this concept of doing experimentally, like, performances that are all kind of curated by folks of that culture, and is also just kind of like part educational, part out, like, whatever, however, like, it's viewed at the time. And right away, I thought of you in the Philippines.
Wow.
What, like, originally, like, 8 months ago or something like that. Because you need... The thing that's interesting about these things is that you need that kind of a person that is able to just kind of, like... that has the context. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's super important. Like, when you're looking at people putting on operas that that are a specific culture or a specific experience, I think that there are... It's really easy to overlook. I mean, in the same way that, like, if someone next year was writing an opera about my life specifically, like, maybe cast me in it. Like, I need not that on my point necessarily.
Or just come
not,
to you for context of the story and make sure the story's right. Or
right. Yeah.
I mean, cast you in it, obviously. But.
Not that, like, someone's, well, but you know what I'm saying.
So yeah. Let's say that someone is writing an opera about your life next year.
Yeah.
And let's say that you're busy. Who would you want to sing you? Or, like, let's say you can't be bothered.
Right.
Or, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Just fuck it, right? ooh, that's a good... That is a good question. Well, it's kind of... You kind of wonder, like, what the hell kind of opera... Is that gonna even be like? What does it need to be?
I'm imagining just like a monodrama with like two cats, you know.
Just kind of like weird and experimental.
Yeah.
fucking, I don't know. Well, because would it have to be a bass baritone?
No, be whoever you want.
Yeah, it would just be it would be. I'm gonna title it. It would be Just Layin. The Daniel Johansson story.
Nice. is it dead or alive?
Yeah, it's dead or alive. I'm going to ask you the same question.
I really want it to be Dieskau playing me.
Uh-huh.
And then...
You asshole.
I want Gould on the piano.
Oh, my God.
It's what I really want.
Glenn Gould tip, aren't you?
Yeah, and with that, I'm going to... So you'll be able to, I'm curious to see how long you'll be able to still hear me. I'm sure that when I'm in there, I'll, like, do something weird where, like, I need to... Why is there a cable above me? Oh, it's your headphones. That's weird.
So you're still going to be on mic. You're just not hearing anything we're saying.
No, I'm not. So y'all will have to let me know what this sounds like. But I'm going to walk over here because I've got the soup going and I've also got the... I made some ginger brew.
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Really well?
Yeah. So, Joaquim, yes. So, in, you know, the tale of Joaquim, dead or alive, for fuck's sake.
That wasn't on purpose. I'm sorry. I really had to burp.
It's like that scene in Naked Gun where Leslie Nielsen goes and they're doing a press conference and he sneaks off and goes to the bathroom.
Yeah.
With the lapel mic on.
Yeah.
And they're hearing him, like, pee the whole time.
Yeah.
And then he starts singing at the end of it. Anyway.
So who's singing you?
I have two.
Okay.
And they're both short people.
Okay.
The first one would be Joseph Schmidt.
Okay.
Do you know Joseph Schmidt?
I don't know.
Joseph Schmidt was a Romanian Romanian Jew who was a tenor around World War II, like right before it started. Okay. And
oh God.
He might have been 4'11", maybe 5 feet tall at the most.
Oh, wow.
One of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. You can catch some of his stuff on YouTube. He pops. He was a Jewish cantor. And so he has florid runs. Like, he could do these runs like nothing.
Wow.
And they have a clip of him singing Una Furtiva, and he ends it on he pops it and he glissandos up to the high B flat.
Oh, my God.
And it's just the beauty. And he trills on the F in the passaggio and goes, and he ends on that B flat. He was actually in a movie where he was in love with the girl and she chose the taller guy over him. Such a sad ending, isn't it? It's a beautiful voice. So I would pick him.
Uh-huh.
And then for a person who's alive, because he's also kind of short, and because I secretly want to be a doo-wop bass, Samuel Raimi would be me in a production.
Nice.
Because he's kind of short. He walked into Roosevelt and I was like, dude, his hair gives him like 3 inches. It's pretty badass. But and then he wore these like... He's got pretty big feet, but he's only about 5'6", 5'7", maybe.
Oh, wow.
And I was wearing my dress shoes, so we were kind of the same height. His hair was just going, but I stood next to him and I was like, "Wow, you're not that much taller than me." Mm. So yeah, he would play me in this role. There might be a doo-wop bass scene, a doo-wop a cappella scene where he's cool. actually singing doo-wop bass. So that's
that'd be sick.
That'd be okay. Your turn.
So can I tell you?
Most turn.
No.
Can I give you a matzo ball update?
Yeah. Oh.
So for those interested, one of the things I'm trying to make right now is I try to make matzo balls.
Shout out to
Va.
It didn't work. What happened?
No, so I put them in there, and for some reason, they made apart. Really nice balls. Yeah, it made it like all. It's just like a
soup of
matzah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what happened. Do you think I overdid them? Is that a thing?
I don't know. What did you use to bind them?
Flaxseed. They were very stable. Like, I'm shocked that happened. I don't, like, they were, did you see them? They were really stable balls.
I saw you making them when I came in.
I don't know. Anyway,
I mean. How long were they boiling?
What time did you get here?
10-ish? About 10 o'clock, 10:05?
10:45, so like 40 minutes.
What was the timing on that, on the recipe?
40 minutes.
Did you tweak a recipe, or was it a vegan matzo ball recipe?
I tweaked a recipe.
It could be because it was tweaked.
Yeah. Could be. I just wonder, because I know they're supposed to expand.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're expanding, like, destroyed them, you know?
I don't know. Well,
because they were overflowing a lot.
Oh, was overflowing?
Like, half the water is missing. And it was a pretty, I think that I just fucked it up. I want to try again now. Anyway, the soup's going to be really good.
Yeah, we're about to have, like, really awesome soup, though. Anyway, so my dream of who would play me... Dawn Upshaw,
mm-hmm.
because she looks like me and I'm vain. and then, oh man.
You don't have to have two, you know, unless we're doing Dead or Alive.
Right.
Yeah, I think I would want Dawn Upshaw. Just because we have similar voices, and she looks like me.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. So I'm curious.
Yes.
Is it gonna be entirely Tagalog, or is it going to be like a mix of some of the other languages?
It will mostly be Tagalog. I think there may be one song that's going to be in Cebuano, which is from one of the Visayan languages from the island of Cebu. I think. I got to double check the words for one of the choral pieces we're singing. It's actually based on the Balitao tradition, which are two people like doing kind of like a freestyle rap, like session, like it's like a contest of like a singing contest, kind of like a freestyle rap off like battle, and in this case it's a man versus a woman.
Cool.
And wow. So it's based on that video we sent you, that's the one. But I gotta double check and make sure that those actual words are actually in Cebuano. We may be pronouncing them Tagalog, kind of like how people sing O Sole Mio, which is actually in Napolitano. It's a Napolitano song, right? It's from Naples. Those are.
It is definitely. Yeah. I'm and trying so to remember like, what the language is called.
Neapolitan. It's a Neapolitan. That language is actually a little different than, you know, your regular Italian. But a lot of people sing O Sole Mio with the regular Italian pronunciation just because it's easier to sing that way.
Right.
And I think we may be doing this. We may be not doing the correct Cebuano accent if it's actually going to be in Cebuano. So, you know, there could be a thing for performance practice. We probably could do that better, but.
Well, that's the thing that's super interesting.
The song is usually sung mostly in the Tagalog accent. So.
Yeah, I think it's a Neapolitan song. Yeah. The thing that's interesting to me about this and about Filipino art song in general is, first off, it's so interesting to me that there is such a rich tradition of it. And it's also interesting to me that there isn't a lot of kind of like performance practice folks that are trying to like look it at, like search it out, you know?
Yeah. Especially with so many, there are so many Filipino singers running around it just, it surprises me that, like, in the spirit of inclusivity and also just, like, curiosity and people getting tired of their rep, that it hasn't been overly explored. Or maybe it has and I'm just not paying attention.
No, yeah. You're right. I think I had to look, I had to search really hard to find this music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fact, when I moved here to Chicago, I was like, I want to do a set of Filipino songs for my grad concert. So my first semester here, I went looking around all the libraries and I couldn't find anything, because the Roosevelt Library is super cool because you can do like interlibrary loan.
Right.
With all the colleges. They did WorldCats where you can get anything from any library that's part of WorldCats. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I looked and I couldn't find a whole lot of stuff. So I started just emailing people. I looked up, some people just scanned PDFs and put it online.
Yep.
I emailed, I found somebody had a website and they put like three pieces. So I emailed them and said, do you have any more? And she sent me two more. So I printed all those things out and I was just kind of searching. And I actually emailed the librarian at University of Philippines, Diliman, and told her I'd like books of art songs and folk songs and things like that. So she actually made me copies of like three books.
Oh, wow.
And I told her, I said, I'll have a friend that come and pick them up.
Yeah.
And I lied because I didn't know anybody going over there. But she made them for me. She goes, well, you let me know. I'm going to make these books. I was like, tell me how much they cost and we will reimburse you. She's like, okay. And maybe about 4 months later, a friend of my mom and dad was heading to the Philippines. He used to own a bookstore and he would sell like souvenirs and things from the Philippines. And he would go there every couple of months to grab stuff and come back. And so they asked him, they said, can you go to the library at UP Diliman and pick up some books for my son? He's like, yeah, sure. So he went over there, he paid for them and brought me back three. In fact, there were four. I don't know what happened to one of them. No, I kind of lost it. But there were four books and she went and she photocopied them and bound them and everything.
That's amazing.
That's how I had to go over there and get the music.
Yeah.
You really just have to go and I need to actually do a trip where I just go over there and I like figure out a way to scan all that stuff and bring them, or buy them and bring them back.
Right. Well, but even just on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I was actually considering doing a Fulbright to try to do that, but I'm not.
That'd be awesome.
Anymore, so like,
yeah, well, what's the deal with Fulbright? Are there is there like an age limit?
And I thought Fulbright was through education, was through a college or something like that.
Dude, fucking donate, people listening, donate to Scoppy. Let's send Joaquim to the Philippines.
That'd be awesome.
Let's do it. I come? Is that ridiculous of me? Is that so white privilege? Like,
You may have a problem eating. There's lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. But then everything is like soaked in like broths that have animal and things like that. You can get around it. You can find ways to get around it.
I've said in the past that culturally I'm like very staunch in my veganism. Like I'm very careful about it. But if it's a matter of like, because at some point in my life I do hope that I get to travel to like, I don't know, areas that. Oh God, this sounds so fucking white privilegey as it's like coming into my head, but areas that are like impoverished where like someone's like, oh, we made you dinner as our guest or something like that, like, or I always think about that because I watch a lot of those travel shows and they're always like, we killed the one pig that we've had all year for you, you know,
yeah,
like we heard you're coming and bringing like technology with you. And so this is, like, our event for the year now, or something like that.
And then to be like, oh, I'm vegan.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. I was like, I don't know where the line is. Like, I don't know what, like, it's not like I'm going to go to the, if I were to go to, like, the Philippines or something like that, I'm going to immediately be like, all right, where are the ribs at? Like, let's go to the grocery store and pick up some goddamn steaks or something like that.
But, I mean, I think that it would be a thing of, and this is, you know, something that I bring with me when I go, like, if I were to go to Ireland specifically, because when I go to Ireland, I just spend time with my family. And if they were to make me something with meat, I would eat it. Just because, not that they're, obviously they're not impoverished, but like.
Specifically your Irish relatives, you mean?
Yeah. And I have a feeling that like many of them like don't really get veganism.
Yeah, I mean, there is a really rich, I would, if I ever get to go to Ireland with you, there's this really rich Irish tradition of vegan food, like the happy pear. dudes?
Oh, I mean, like, you know, when we eat out, I would eat vegan. But if my, you know, 65-year-old, like, great aunt were to make me corned beef, I would probably eat it. It's because I'm not going to be like, sorry, Joyce.
That's got to be it. They wouldn't really look. I think it's got to be. Let's talk about this another time.
Anyway, I would love to go back, and you would have to go and do that too. I've looked online to try to buy, like, I've looked for retail sites for. I will import the books. I would pay the whatever international, and you just can't find them. You just have to have somebody over there that can make you the copies, or the guy who arranged that choral piece that we sent to you, he's got all that copies. So when I go back home to California, I'm gonna try to meet up with him and see what he has.
I mean,
he has sarsuelas. He said he has sarsuela scores, and I was just like, that would be a really interesting project, is to do a Filipino sarsuela.
Yeah, I mean, we are definitely one of our beats potentially going forward, and like in the next few years, I'm talking about, is that we do want to do musicological type stuff with Scoppy, and so like things like that are definitely projects that where I know I'm open to potentially doing, because the whole point of the things that we're doing is trying to be this like digital media press. So the idea of helping make those things, those kind of like source material and different autograph and like different music, getting, you know, people knowing about them, and that's super important to me.
But here's a funny thing though that kind of bugs me about like musicology and ethnomusicology. I used to study, my teacher just passed away maybe 8 months ago, but I used to study the indigenous, those gongs, I would say the Kulintang gongs, Kulintang ensemble, which is kind of a family member related to the Gamelan, the Javanese Gamelan. And everything is learned by rote and demonstration, and you just learn from your teacher going, this is how the song goes, and plays it. And they figured out a way to notate it, and now like they're notating all the songs, and kids are only reading the notation, and they're not practicing learning by rote, and it bugs the shit out of me.
Right. Because that was never the tradition.
And it's in a way, that's what some people go like, I have friends who can play anything by ear on piano, and their friends are like, don't learn how to read music because it'll mess you up. I go, no, he already can learn by ear, teach him to read music, and he'll be that much better.
Yeah.
But as trained musicians, a lot of us stop using our ear after a while. Well, especially those of us who are good readers, stop learning by ear. And that one aspect of that indigenous music bugs me, is that like they've notated almost everything, and now they teach like kids. It's cool, they're getting kids to learn, but they're just giving them notations and they're playing from notations. They're not like practicing learning the way it was. Like my teacher learned, because in the Philippines, the women play most of the ensemble, the basically the rhythm section of those groups are played by all the women. It's just you never see them out of the Philippines because they're not allowed to leave.
Mm.
The men are the ones who go out and bring the music out there, but my teacher learned by sitting in his mother's lap as she played the gongs. That's how he learned all the songs that he learned.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a little thing that bugs me with the ethnomusicology aspect, is like, oh, let's notate this so all the Western people can play it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck that. Learn the language, go over there and learn how to play it like it's supposed to be. But that's just me. That's just
cool.
A little bit of me. And
well,
I want to expose it, but I also want to be like, learn it like they learned it. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Right. It's been 40 minutes. I'd actually be cool with ending a little early. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Because I know I'm sleepy and it's like 11 o'clock already. Because I want to keep this conversation going, because we're going to get Megan Fletcher and Anna DiCampo-Kane on as the other organizers of this thing.
Yeah. In fact, if we can get the quartet, maybe we can do a little bit of one of the pieces.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah,
that'd be sick.
I transcribed a song that was originally arranged by a group from the mid-90s from the Bay Area, California, and a friend of mine who actually lives in Indiana now, she arranged a song for her and her three of the singers in her group, and it was all treble, and it was one of the most beautiful renditions of this classic Filipino song called Dahil Sayo, and I transcribed it for another thing for a Vox thing, actually. It was pretty funny. We sang it for Vox, and then I brought it to the members and was like, can you put it up a minor third? It's kind of low. So I popped it up a minor third now because we have two sopranos singing in that. So
yeah.
And then the tenor is actually singing the bass part.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because the original singer, Irma, had this really low range. She can go really low.
Cool.
She was singing kind of tenor two-ish, like baritone one, kind of low Ds and D flats and stuff like that. So that's a really cool one. Those four are singing on that. So if we can get them in there, we can actually maybe do a snippet of it.
Yeah, and we've got, by then especially, we'll have the big mixer, and we've got all these lapel mics now. We can, like, have a whole crowd in here.
And I also want to say that I'm looking forward to that because Megan Fletcher and Anna DiCampo-Kane have also really stepped up and been really excited about this project. Yeah. So they're fantastic, and they have actually done, they've taken this idea, and they're kind of running with it as well. So yeah. the three of us, and they're doing a whole lot of work too. I just want to make sure that that we recognize them and looking for them to get in here. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Well, the last thing we do with all of our guests, and you know this, is a 1-minute plug for anything they have upcoming or any kind of media they're consuming, people that you want to shout out doing dope work, any self-care stuff, TV shows, books, whatever.
Yeah. Let's see. I will be joining Constellation Men's Ensemble in the next couple of months for their programs. I have, I'm kind of laying back and doing a lot of stuff. I just started working out with the TRX system, which is all body weight.
Oh my God, TRX is killer.
TRX is awesome. So there's that.
Cool.
And I'm weird weather here in.
Yeah, Chicago. It is really weird weather.
It's going to be like blazing hot for the next 5 days. I'm so upset.
I know.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
I'm like, my shorts are all kind of packed up somewhere, and I'm just like, great, I got to find the shorts now. But yeah, that's it for now.
Well,
and then October 12th. October 12th is our concert coming up, so you'll see me and a lot of the very talented singers for the Scoppy Filipino Songs concert.
And to keep up with Joaquim generally, you've got your Facebook page, right?
Yeah, my Facebook, Joaquim Luis Tenor on Facebook. We have @ Joaquim Luis on Twitter, and
JMaxL, isn't it? Or is that Instagram?
JMaxL would be Instagram.
Cool.
The website coming soon. Fingers crossed. Knock on wood.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Dan Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we're up to, there are so many ways that you can do that. You can head over to scoppymag.com. That is our website. We post all of our articles, all of our podcast episodes are up there, and all of our videos are there as well. Otherwise, you can keep up with us on all the social media places. On Facebook, we're under Scoppy Magazine. On Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Google Play, and iTunes Podcasts, we are Scoppy Mag. Please head to those places. Reach out to us. We love hearing from you.
Write a review on iTunes.
That's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us out a ton. Yeah. Scapimag is how that's spelled.
And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. Everything that we've been able to do up to this point has been through your generosity. So first of all, thank you so much. Second of all, we could use a little bit more help. If you're in a position to give, you can head to our website, scapimag.com. You can head to our About section. You can do a one-time donation. If you choose to do that, you will have our eternal gratitude. If you choose to give on a monthly level, then some cool things will happen. Our next 2 monthly donors are going to get a bag of half-wit coffee. Anyone giving at $10 a month or more, stop touching your mic. Anyone giving at $10 a month or more are going to get 1 session of studio photography a month from Daniel, and anyone giving at $25 a month or more, if you have an organization or something that you would like advertised, you will have room on our website to do that.
Yeah.
So give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.